Well, I wanted just to answer the question that was asked a minute ago, because I think there's a really wonderful point that we can lay hold of. The question was asked, did they just believe with their head and not with their heart? These verses will give us the clear indication of who believed with their head. That's going to be Simon. If you want to read that in your devotions, you can look at it. You say, well, Brother Chuck, how do you know that? Well, I know that for this reason. God seals those that are His. You always remember that. He seals those that belong to Him. Now, we know there was a delay here. There was a delay for the reasons that we've given, that at least we believe Scripture would teach us. But there finally came the time when verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. What about Simon? What about Simon Mangus? Why wasn't he sealed? Well, because the Spirit of God knew. He wasn't fooled by what Simon had done. Simon wanted the power. Simon wanted this authority. He wanted to gain from this thing. And God knew and read his heart right from the beginning. And so he was not sealed. So just, you might have a chance to look that up in your room or on your spare time. But that's what marks out the difference between those that were real believers. They were sealed. The one that was a mere professor, he was not.
Now, how important it is, this matter of the Samaritan. I think, again, as we will see how God's purpose and plan for his church is, it's important to see what are these group of people coming in into and how the Spirit of God is working to join even the Samaritan to the assembly of God. Now, the Samaritan people are kind of unique a little bit in their ways. It was very hard for Peter and John to go to Samaria. Remember what the Samaritan woman told the Lord Jesus? I think John mentioned John chapter 4. How could you ask from me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritan don't get along at all. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people hated the Samaritan. They despise the Samaritan. If you want to call somebody a name, bad name really, call him a Samaritan. That's what they did to the Lord Jesus. He said, we know you are a Samaritan and have a devil. That's what they thought. The Samaritan is the lowest of the low. You know why? At your leisure time, I want you to read 2 Kings chapter 17. You will find the original of these Samaritans. You don't have to read it now. Just write it down and then read it there. Now, these Samaritans, how did they come to existence? When the king of Assyria came and he took all of the children of Israel, the 10 tribes, out of the lands, he said, I have a good idea. I am going to have a different nations that are going to dwell there. I am going to bring people from everywhere and put them in that piece of land, in the land of Israel, and have them to live there. And then in 2 Kings chapter 17, you read that God sent wild beasts to eat them up. So they went to the king and he said, we have a problem here. We need some help. And he said, okay, I have an idea. I am going to send you a priest from these Jewish people to teach you the custom of the God of the land. And you read there twice that these Samaritans invented a new religion. It's a compromise religion. It's some kind of a unity. He said, okay, what we're going to do is this. We're going to worship our own gods and we're going to worship the Lord also. We're going to have that kind of unity. It's wonderful. Everybody's happy. We are not really Jewish. We are not really Gentiles, but we're going to have some kind of unity. We're going to worship our own gods and we're going to worship the God of Israel. And the Jewish people just hated and despised these Samaritans. Now, David was telling us how the enemy tried to hinder the word of God from going everywhere. So the word of God go into Samaria. And now here is the danger. I think Chuck mentioned it earlier. Okay, we're going to have a church in Samaria. Were we going to have some kind of a mixed religion? We're going to worship the Lord Jesus and we're going to worship whatever other things we believe in. We're going to have some from here, some from there, and we're going to mix them together and we're going to have our own religion that is really fine with all of us and we're all going to be happy. And the Spirit of God said, That's man-made thing. The king of Assyria sent the priest to teach them things. So you would say, well, we have Philip here. Philip is one of the seven deacons. You know, he's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. He was serving tables and he was taking care of feeding the people. And then the Lord sent him to Samaria. Well, isn't he good enough? Why do we have in verse 14 that the apostles have to go there? The apostles have to go there to establish the fact that there is no two different group. What church do you go to? Oh, I go to the church of Samaria. Oh, where do you go? I go to the church of Jerusalem. There is no such a thing. They have to come. They have to lay their hand. You know what laying hand is? It's giving them the right hand of fellowship. You probably hear that expression. It's like shaking hand. We're giving you the right hand of the fellowship. So, do you think the church in Samaria also did the very same thing that they did in Jerusalem? That they steadfastly continue in the apostle doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in prayer? Do you think they did the same thing as Jerusalem? They did exactly the same thing in Jerusalem. And Peter and John had to go there as apostles, messengers from the Master, to establish that very same thing. So we don't have two different churches. We don't have two different denominations. We don't have this one goes in the Jewish way, but this one goes in between the Jewish and the Samaritan. Everything was the same everywhere. The same practices that were in Jerusalem, the same four things are happening also in Samaria. So the Spirit of God is guarding against any man-made compromise, any man-made unity. Everything should be the same everywhere. And that's what we have in, what we have in Samaria.
I think it's important, and I just want to stress this before we move on. Two things. One, as we've encouraged you, please write this down as the second phase, if you would, and the Spirit's coming. We saw the Spirit falling in Acts chapter 2 upon those that were at Jerusalem, 120 in the upper room. And here now,
we need to make an announcement. We're adults. We don't really need to see a constant stream of people in and out of this room. I hope that if we need to go back to classrooms, we'll go back to the small classrooms. We come here and we prepare for a Bible reading. And we've had some that have left. And so we want to say that. We are supposed to be in this room, and we need to be prepared when we come into this room. We'll try to remember to have our break, but we need to be prepared to stay in this room. We can't leave here, go out to the dorms, run out and get a glass of water, do whatever we want to. Remember, the saints down in the big room are suffering this morning. So I have to say that. Tony, go ahead.
So we want you to write these two instances, and we'll give you a total of four today. But I want to just to reemphasize this point. If we read verse 12... it says, "For when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." These were true believers. And then we have, as Amos said in verse 17, "Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Spirit of God." Verse 25, "And they," this is Peter and John, "when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans."